As part of our materials today, we included the internal operating procedures for those courts that have them posted on their websites. That'll help with all the basic information. We touch on that some, but for the most part, that's where you're going to get a lot of your nitty-gritty information about how our internal procedures work. We're going to start off talking about some motion practice, and our most commonly filed motion, and I think all the courts, is a motion for extension of time. And Carlene, can you talk about that?
Yes, the 1st, 3rd, and 14th now follow kind of the same basic procedure for regular, and by regular I mean non-accelerated motions for extension of time, in that the clerk's office handles many of those now. For the 3rd court, extensions are generally granted for up to 90 days. On the 1st and 14th, your first 60 days, the clerk's office will grant. And for the next 30 days, you're looking at getting one of those notices that say only in extenuating circumstances or no more motions will be granted. But by having the clerk's office deal with this now, it's brought some real uniformity between the 1st and the 14th in ruling on those motions and in the amount of time it takes to get those motions ruled on. And for the 3rd court, this is also a relatively new procedure.
So when you say 90 days, like, for example, 90 days on our court, how does that, is that one, you get one 90-day extension?
It could be one, or it could be multiple successive motions.
And at the Supreme Court, the clerk's office also handles our motions for extension of time. The amount of time you might get as a matter of course is going to depend on what you're filing, whether it's a brief or a reply, if it's a parental termination case. All of those are spelled out in our internal operating procedures. But usually you can get 30 days unopposed, granted as a matter of course, and maybe an additional 30 days as a matter of course before you get one of those letters saying, will be disfavored or please don't file anymore.